you from the Central Texas area. It's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's your host, Eric Jackson.
All right, all right. And hello to everybody out there. That's what I'm talking about. Pump it up, pump it up. All right, today is Monday, and I hope everybody had a good weekend. Welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and we're about to have us some fun today, people, because today, now I was thinking about it over the weekend. You know, after having such a good weekend, sometimes there's some things that go over the weekend that just we just need to talk about. We don't have to be all in up in a serious discussion in the beginning. So you know what I've decided to do? From now on, every Monday is going to be Open Mic Monday. So whatever's on your mind, you want to talk about it? And Monday is the day that let's get it on. Let's get it on. And to start this Open Mic Monday off, we do have a guest host in the studio today, Miss Shasta Cole. And that's what I'm talking about, y'all. Yeah. She's going to be helping us out there today with our topic. So with that being said, if you want to join in the conversation, call me. Call in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And I do have my chat room open. So if you don't feel like calling in or sending me an email, just come on into the chat room. We can talk there while the show is in session. Now that I have caught my breath and we've got all the particulars out of the way, let's talk. All right. Now, Ms. Shasta.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's get busy then. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about right now is the American Idol thing. All right. Because you have Ms. J-Lo and Randy Jackson. I mean, I'm sorry. You have J-Lo and what's the other child name? Steven Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you got J-Lo and Steven Tyler.
He is, huh?
Is he from Kiss? I thought he was from Aerosmith.
Oh, he is. My bad. You're right.
Okay, anyway, that's before her. look, that's before her time. So we're going to let Shasta go on that one, all right? But anyway, we got those two folk. They decide they're going to leave. They're leaving the group. I mean, they're leaving American Idol. So that just leaves Randy Jackson.
Where the other hosts coming from?
Well, see, that's the thing. But the hosts, they talking about Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people saying, well, Aretha may be too much of a diva for the show. She may be a little bit too harsh.
Okay.
But I think Aretha actually would be a good person for the show.
Right, because she could sing.
Yeah, she knows she's been in the business for a while.
Okay, yeah, sound good to me.
I mean, she's lasted forever, so why not?
Right, instead of these pop singers, they already, you know, they always get one of them to fill in the spot. So I agree. You know, somebody who we really know got some soul and can sing.
Exactly. And I mean, and you can't beat that. And now you talk, get somebody else like Patti LaBelle in there and bring them together, then maybe the show will become popular again and be able to compete with the new singing shows.
Mm-hmm. Sound like a singing group to me.
No, Lord.
Together. You got you a little singing group.
No, we don't want them two to start singing because the show will never end because they'll be trying to out-sing everybody. You know what I mean? I mean, come on now. Let's be real about it.
Yeah.
You know. So, either way, I think that'll be a good move for American Idol. Now, whether they do it or not, I don't know. First, they have to decide whether Randy Jackson's going to stay, because rumor has it that he's going to step, too.
And isn't it his show?
Well, actually, it's Simon's show.
Oh, okay. Well, Simon left his?
Yeah, but Simon's still behind it, the whole thingamabob.
Oh, okay. Well, he'll probably come up with some new hosts. He ain't gonna let his show go.
Well, I still think Randy Jackson need to be there, you know, because everybody done got used to that dog. I mean, he's the last of the originals, so if he goes, him and Ryan Seacrest, so if he leaves, then there's gonna be something terrible going on.
Well, yeah, we're just gonna watch another show. That's terrible.
That's terrible, but hey, it is what it is, right?
Right.
If it happens, it happens. Now, with that being said, we're gonna move right along. Now, I don't know how Shasta, how far you know about Joe Paterno and Penn State and the Sadowski trial. Know anything about that?
Yeah, I know it's Sandusky.
Uh-huh.
And a little something. I know that, is it Joe Paterno passed away?
Yeah.
Like right before he can really get the charges read to him, he done passed off.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lord said it's his time.
Well, see, here's the thing about that. See, Joe Paterno, hey, you know, they built this man up to be this great, great coach. And, well, and maybe he was a great coach. Uh-huh. But now everything's coming out. You know, and it's funny how we do things here in society, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while everything's going good, we build them up and build them up and build them up. And as soon as something happens, you know, all of a sudden, everybody turns.
Right.
Now, you got, you know, like in case of Joe Paterno, though, everybody was, you know, well, Joe Paterno did what he had to do and blah, blah, blah. But now there's information coming out saying, well, maybe Joe Paterno didn't do everything he was supposed to do. Or had to, you know, needed to do.
Like reporting it to folks.
Right. Well, he reported it, but he didn't, let's see, check on it, get feedback, you know, follow up on it. Mm-hmm. That's the word, follow up. You know, so now, since he didn't follow up, you know, all these kids are grown, well, they're grown men now, coming out the woodwork. But, you know, now you want to put charges on Joe Paterno, what good is that going to do? He's not here anymore.
Right.
Now they're talking about taking down statues and what have you.
We just trying to throw it on anybody now.
Yeah.
Because we done made a mess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you got Penn State University. If anything, they get more publicity.
Hmm. Well, I don't think it's all good, though, at the same time.
Okay.
So then folks having to hold their heads high just because their coaching staff was messed up. So I got a little sympathy for them folks. Just a little bit.
I ain't got no sympathy for him. I never liked Penn State anyway, so I ain't got no sympathy for him. I always said something crooked was going on
you
back over there.
So harsh.
I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. I mean, really. Really. I mean, it's like, okay, now the truth is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he should have retired years ago. But you know why he really didn't want to retire? Because he didn't want Bobby Bowden to get the best coaching record in Florida State. And not to mention, you know, they were, oh my, it became more political. I think that's why he really didn't step down. And plus, look at it, once he did step down, he died.
Yeah, that just means it was close to his time.
Uh-huh, that means that's all he knew.
Yeah, good timing.
That wasn't no good timing, what you talking about?
I thought you just said when he stepped down that he is not
to... No, he stepped down, he died.
Oh, so he should have stayed on, that's what you said?
Once he retired, he died.
He ain't had nothing else to do.
No.
Sad.
Y'all see, that's all she can say is, oh, that's a sad story.
It is, and
that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. It is sad. It's sad that didn't nobody say nothing about all these kids way back then. And then now we want to bring it up now when they grown. But over the years, these people couldn't find not one therapist to disclose this information about themselves. But they come out years and years later, and they disclose the information. And immediately, we're sympathetic. Not that we shouldn't be. I'm just saying. It should be a time attached to everything. I'm saying you ran into someone. Let's suppose you took some kind of therapy to get through what you were going through. You know, over the years, you couldn't talk to nobody. We talking about grown men here. Grown folks. You knew what was going on, and into your grown age, you knew you might need to get some help.
But here's the question with that, being that you said that. Now, here's my question I'm putting y'all out there. With what Shasta just said, is there, how can I say it? Is there a certain responsibility that we have to make sure this stuff don't happen on anymore? Because you're not really going to say it's not happening. We just don't know about it right now. But what I'm saying is, how can we fix it to where this doesn't happen anymore? You know, how can we in other words, I'm saying, how can we make it to where the kids are the concern and not the programs themselves? Because everybody know Penn State is a big, big football program. Tradition. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things get swept under the rug because it's Penn State University.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what I'm saying is they're making it seem like the program is more important to what was going on with these kids.
Hmm. Yes. Everybody protecting their ass.
Right,
basically.
Right.
We got something to protect as well.
So now the university has taken a hit also, but what can we do to keep this from happening? Like at the Michigans, the Floridas, the Florida States, UCLAs, USC's, you know, Oklahomas. You know, what can we do to keep this from happening?
I'm not sure. Maybe the football team need a counselor. Maybe they need to go on an institute of counselor for some of these students, just in case you got something going on. Maybe, you know, whether that be at home or at school with your studies, maybe they need a counselor. Get the sports program a counselor for some of them. Maybe they might be going through something.
Well, I think it may have to go beyond a little. It has to go beyond a little bit more than counseling.
Well, we got to start somewhere. Just recently did we find this out. I mean, if it's something that's been going on, I just feel like, we ain't going to be able to be just dramatic with the first step. They're going to want to start small. So, that's why I say just get them a little somebody to talk to.
Okay, so we start small now, and then 20 years later, we running into the same thing.
I mean, we're not going to be able to save the world. But we could institute a step to prevent some things from happening.
Well, what's wrong with us saving the world?
I mean, it sounds awesome. Mr. Jackson, but we're going to keep it realistic, and we know that we can't save the world. So we're going to do it one step at a time in hopes that it'll catch on to other folks. And, maybe that little counselor for the different sports teams, you know, and things like that could help. Yeah. Sounds great to me.
And that's what you're going with?
That's my final answer.
Y'all agree with Ms. Cole out there, huh?
My final answer.
Y'all agree with Ms. Cole? Because I don't know. I
don't even need to phone a friend.
You know, I think she's kind of being too politically correct.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about start a little. Heck no, clean out the whole joint and let's start right.
We wish some of these schools probably wouldn't even have a coaching staff if we cleaned them out.
Yeah, maybe that's what it's needed.
Some of them probably be desperate right now. Please don't implement that. Is that a law? That's something we heard on the internet today. Hopefully that is not a law.
Well,
because we might not have any, you know, any school systems or anything like that. Honestly, if you really stop to think about it, what if we had access to be able to terminate some of these people from some of these positions? Some of them wouldn't even have positions anymore. Honestly, judges, priests, look at it goes far. It started out Catholic. Now it's the schools and football teams.
But is that a bad thing, though? Maybe that is what is needed to get things back on track.
Well, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying...
No, because like you said, a lot of these folk have been in these positions for years.
Mm-hmm.
And when they took these positions, nobody did a thorough background check on these people.
They should have.
No. Back in the day, you know, okay, John, yeah, John, you coached with me over here at Brad Baker University. Come on over here with me.
Mm-hmm.
See, and we ain't got to worry about, don't worry about that paperwork. We'll take care of that later. But it never got done.
Mm-hmm.
So now John was doing his thing over there, you know, messing with kids or whatever over there. Now he's at your university, and then it started over.
Hmm.
But you're not aware of it because nobody, you know, he's been there forever. Nobody thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Sadusky. Come on, him and the little boy was horsing around in the shower. What a grown man horses around with a kid in the shower?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a 9-year-old son, and me and him don't horse around in no damn shower.
Yeah, I heard that interview. That was on, I heard that interview. That was on, what was that, CNN? We hopped on there talking with, what's his name? My boy.
Matt
Blonde
Lauer.
Hair. Y'all know who I'm
talking
about.
Yeah,
he talked to my boy when he, I think he accidentally said that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't accidentally.
He
know what he was saying.
He said, I take it back. I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take back everything I just said, y'all.
You know, when it's true, it comes out naturally. You know, no matter how you try and hide it or sugarcoat it, whatever, if it's the truth, it's going to come out naturally.
Mm-hmm. And what go on in the dark going to come to the light.
So, now I'm saying, you know, we need to look at that. As far as this statue, I really don't care what they do with Joe Paterno's statue. It's there now. You can spend all the money on it.
Yeah. What are we going to do with it? Put it in a landfill or something?
Yeah,
ship it to another country?
What you
going to
do? You going to tear it? I mean, break it apart? What?
You're going to ship it to another country and make it part of a
If anything, let it stay there as a reminder of what happened and what we're not tolerating anymore as far as our university athletics.
So are we going to spray paint it to show that, or just keep it the way it is?
Well, just take and put a big old asterisk above it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Man. All right. Now that we talked about that, we're going to move right along. And there's a big uproar going on because of the USA Olympic team's uniforms.
I know nothing about this.
Everybody's upset because the USA uniforms were made in China.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm upset, too. Why we can't make our own uniforms? What's wrong with that?
Okay, here's my question. Look in the back of your shirt and tell me where it was made at.
Hold on, just a minute. Let's
yeah,
take a
right.
Break.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't know. Yours ain't got. You just got the little thing.
It was made in China.
I bet it was.
It was made in Japan.
No, but that's the same difference. I mean, let's be realistic. How much of our stuff are actually made here in the United States?
Hardly anything. Hardly.
Now everybody say, well, you know, we got the factories that's closed that we can open them up and start making our own stuff. That's fine and dandy.
Well, I see what they mean though. As far as something that we're using to represent our country, which would be our uniforms, which we would wear with pride and honor. We want to be representing us by something that we made. I mean, I understand as far as, you know, even the electronics that we're using right now to do the show obviously weren't even made in the U.S. So I'm not saying, you know, that our stuff is not made in China. I'm just saying with the uniforms that I'm going to another country to represent my country with, we could have took out the time. If we can spend all this money on the war and everything else we can put money into, we could have had somebody sew up some USA uniforms. You could have got Betty Mae down the street. She'd have sold up some uniforms for the Lolo. They could have got Betty Mae to do it. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, that's fine for Betty Mae. But,
yeah, they could have got Betty Mae to do that.
How Betty Mae going to do it when the companies that are actually U.S. companies are sending the work over to China to do it?
Yeah, that's pretty messy. Well, that's called outsourcing.
Exactly.
And, yes, they do it.
So how are we going to get upset about that when that is the norm?
Well,
the claim is labor is cheaper over there.
I just think we should have thought about this move a little bit more carefully. That should have been well orchestrated. We was kind of sloppy with that, just sending it over to China. Make our uniforms for this year's Olympics. We was a little sloppy with that. We should have had, proper preparation prevents poor performance. We should have hooked that up
now,
and had somebody make them.
Now, here's the catch, though. See, everybody ain't realized this. The Russian Olympic team are trying to get we're talking to American companies to make their Olympic uniforms.
Really?
Yeah.
What, they feel like we're going to do it better? So we could have did our own stuff. You see what I'm saying? That's like me making your clothes, but I ain't good enough to make my own.
No, I said they were talking. I didn't say they were going to do it. But here's the thing. It can be made cheaper over there than it can here.
They want that USA pride. See what I'm saying? We should have showed enough of that to get our own shirts made.
I mean, I agree. We should have did it here in the States, but look at the big picture of what's going on.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. It's another whole problem.
Yeah, there's a whole other problem going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the outsourcing, number one. Number two, we don't have enough shops here or businesses here to do it, that's willing to do it.
Yeah, well, we broke. So we having to depend on other countries.
How are we broke?
What I mean, for a lot of things. See, I believe, and then really we stepping into a whole nother subject, but the U.S. is broke. I mean, we really are. We still taking loans out with other countries to do things. And we're having to depend on them for a lot of things.
Well, I mean, as far as taking loans out with other countries, that's been going on for years. That's how countries run.
Right. So we're going to continue to have other countries make stuff for us. Because we going broke, we can't make it for ourselves.
It's not we can't make it for ourselves. It's that we just do not choose to.
And that's messed up, because I could have a new job, you could have a new job, a whole lot of folks could have a new job.
The bottom line basically is profit, money.
Hmm.
Now, if you're going to have something here in the States, then you got to worry about paying taxes, unions, if you're going to allow a union, and so forth. So that's overhead that you have to worry about. But if you go ahead and outsource over there, you don't have to worry about all that much. Plus, the pay per employee is so much cheaper than it is here in the United States. It seems to be a more viable option than to have factories and things here in the United States. Yes, that is a problem. But if you're looking at it from a business point, right now, it makes a lot of sense. I'm not advocating it, but I'm just saying from a business point, it makes sense.
Hmm.
Now, whoever was in charge of having the uniforms made, then you need to go and talk to them. Because, see, what we're looking at is just the final product.
But this has been going on, too. It ain't even just with these USA uniforms. We're talking about radio flyer, an old American tradition of, you know, the little radio flyer wagon, the little red wagon they used to drag along. That's radio flyer. And they made a whole lot of things. A little tricycle. Probably the first tricycle anybody ever rode back in the day was radio flyer. They outsourced that. That was a big deal for a while, that, you know, they were outsourcing. I used to work for Sally Mae student loan company. You know what? We're out of business in the Killeen area because we didn't outsource it over to Japan for those folks to talk to you when you hit the line. So I see what you mean by it being more affordable, but I'm just saying, with all this money that we claim to have, which obviously we don't see because we're not putting money back here, ever. To be putting money back here would be to be starting businesses, right? Maybe we could have invented a business for uniforms in general.
Okay, let's go a little step further. Let's go back, just go a little bit deeper into this thing. How about in the African-American community? You know, if you go outside and walk through our neighborhood right now, walk through a neighborhood, you won't find not one, number one, not just a non-field grocery store, black-owned grocery store. You won't find a black grocery store, period, in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's long talking about businesses.
Mm.
No. So, in a lot of cases, it comes back full circle. It's just not the white owner. It hits us too.
Hmm.
You know, that's jobs and income that we letting go somewhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't need it.
It's not that we don't need it. We just, I don't know what we do.
We think we too good. That's why we still got Mexicans picking apples in Washington. Because we too good to do it ourselves. We would rather go get them and say that they okay to live in the U.S. as long as they've been here long enough. About as long as you've been here since you was born. You all right to keep picking our apples. Because we don't want to do it. So. Good to do so.
All right, we gonna come back to that one. Because, okay, well, that's it with the USA uniforms. You got something you want to say? No problem. You can join in the conversation at 347-838-8622. You email me at ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or you can join my chat room, which is open, and we can chat there also. You are listening to Let's Talk, and I am your host, Eric Jackson. Have a special co-host today, Ms. Shasta Cole.
Hey.
And we actually are getting through. Today is Open Mic Monday. So whatever you want to talk about, type, scream, yell, cry, hey, we can do it today. We got 2 full hours to do it in, so let's get busy. All right. Now, the next thing, I know you, all right, all you Tom Cruise fans and Katie Holmes fans, what is really going on there? Huh? What's up with this Scientology thing? Is Scientology really a religion or is it a cult that somebody started?
It's a cult somebody started. That ain't no religion. Since when you grew up with Scientology, your mama say we can, the only sign you know was science in school. That's how it looked like science. You start with science, and they just put tology to it. That's something they made up. It looked just like science, like your science book back at school. That is not part of religion. We is not going to do that. And religion ain't no good anyway, but don't get me started. All I'm saying is that Scientology stuff, it's some bull.
Okay.
That is bull.
All right. First, we're gonna take this one step at a time.
Mm.
Now, as far as the Scientology, I don't know. And like I said Friday on Fun Friday, if it's got anything to do with science, I didn't like science in school. So why am I going to make that my religion?
I need a dictionary so we can tell the folks what Scientology means.
You know, and it's really one of those things to where I think it's just something, what, E.R. Hubbard? Is a religion he came up with.
Hmm.
So, and now, you know, it's so secretive, you know, that really the stars that call itself being a part of, they really have no idea what's going on inside of it. You know, how you going to have kids out there and then the church you're attending to got a handler, you know, for your kids? That is crazy. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not for that. That is just downright no. That is downright yeah, no. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, and ever since Tom Cruise got on Oprah's couch and started jumping up and down like he was a rabbit or something, everybody just got all hooked into this thing. See, and that goes back, people, we need to research some of this stuff these folks be doing and telling us it's all good. Because, as you can see, that's not the case in a lot of instances. That is not the case. So since that is not the case, you know, you have to be careful. You really do. You have to be careful. Now, another thing Shasta said that we really fit to get into now, because Scientology, okay, basically, we have nothing to do with that. We don't care. Those folk that like cults, okay? And if it's a cult, you know, which there are plenty around the United States as well as the world, unless somebody famous or something happens drastically, nothing's going to be done about it anyway. You know, they're going to deny this, the other side is going to deny that, and it's going to be what it is. It's still going to be there, and it's eventually it's going to die down. So with that being said, it's about to die right here. Now, Miss Shasta, you said you got a problem with religion, period. You know damn well going to slide by, right?
Okay, now I'm glad because I get to explain.
Yes, please explain because I want to know about this.
Okay, well, when I say I got a problem with religion, I mean that in a traditional sense. Some of us only believe certain things because mama said it worked that way. And we may not be able to explain why we believe the way we believe. And to me, that's deep. If somebody was to ask you, Mr. Eric, why do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? I don't want you to tell me something that your mama told you. I want you to know that whatever comes out of your mouth is the truth. For real. For yourself. You've opened up the good book. You know where to find that. And you believe in your heart for that to be the truth. A lot of us walking around right now are religious. That's what we are, based on tradition. And we're following what someone else told us, not what we know to be the truth. And that bothers me. So that's what I mean by religion. Some of us are just religion. We're into tradition. We're into routine. That works with tradition and religion as well. Some people will go to church every Wednesday, every Thursday for choir practice, every Sunday, every Saturday. They in church pretty much every time the door opens. Do that make you any better than me? No. But you're doing this based on religion, based on something that you've seen someone else do, and that's why you're doing what you do. You think God gonna bless you anymore because you in church five times a week and I'm only in there one? No, that's not what I believe. So I do believe some of us get caught up in what I consider religion and know nothing for themselves.
You know what? Okay. All right. Now that you explain, I understand that. I actually did a show on that too. But you're right. You're right, to a certain point. But in the same instance, if you were to ask me, I'm telling you, I'm a walking testimony because I've been through some things that I know only God could have brought me through.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, okay.
Yeah, without a doubt, riding on IEDs and having mortars popping off right next to my truck, blowing the windows out of my truck. So I know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in the same token, you're right. There are some hypocritical people out there. Some of them are out there. Some of you, and you know some of you church folk are out there that just, only thing you want to do is be seen in the church. Especially one of these big mega churches with, as my caller call, Mr. Solution calls them, with them pulpit pimps up in there getting your money. You're not doing anything else but making his house payment and making it able for him to drive around in his Mercedes Benz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, she has a point. There's a lot of you so-called Christians or religion people out there, religious people, and it's just not Christians. Let's make this clear.
Oh yeah, that was universal. I didn't call no specifics specific denominations out. I didn't say whether you were Catholic or Buddhist or I ain't calling nobody out. I'm saying in general, some people are so caught up in religion and the routine and the what's the good word they use? Conscientious following of what somebody else is doing. I need you to be sitting in that pew doing what you know to be true, not what your mama's mama been teaching her since Timbuktu. I'm going to need you to know why you believe how you believe. And I believe there's too many people walking around who don't even know why they do the things that they've been doing forever. They just do it because they're used to it.
That's it, just because they're used to it.
Yeah, it's routine. You want somebody to look at you and notice what you're doing and you know, you want higher standing in the church. People do it for those reasons, too. If I be here four Sundays more than you, then pastor put me on the Ursha board. And, you know, my mama's mama was on the Ursha board, so we next in line to be part of the Ursha board as well. So, you see what I'm saying? That's it's unnecessary, for real. And like I said, you ain't got to be caught up in religion to be a believer. Those can be two different things. I'm a believer, but I'm not going to do what you see that I should be doing to prove I am. I ain't got nothing to prove to you. The relationship that I have is between me and the Lord himself. That's how I'm going to put that.
All right. And you know what? She's not wrong, y'all. She's not wrong at all. I mean, just because you got your special relationship don't mean that my relationship has to be the same as yours. Because it's not. And anybody who tells you your relationship is supposed to be like theirs, you need to get the heck away from them because they're lying to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They really are. And now, like I said last week, though, if you don't know who you are or what you stand for, then you'll fall for anything.
You need to read a book. You need to get in your word. That's a good book to start with. Because what? That's a dangerous ground to be standing on.
That's not dangerous. That's just, you're going to stand on that by yourself. You'll be all right eventually once you realize what the heck you're doing and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, hey, I don't know. Hey, look, we trying to find the definition for Scientology. So if any of you out there got a dictionary or you know, got used to your computer and you can find it, send us an email so we can see exactly what the definition of Scientology is.
Hit us up.
Because we really want to know this. Since it's supposed to be a religion.
Yeah, I can't even find a definition.
You know, on the dictionary I got to say is science.
Uh-uh.
And that's all it says. So if you find it, you can send me an email at ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or you can just come into the chat room and put in the chat room so everybody be able to see, and we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, since we have gotten all the little juicy tidbits out the way that I really wanted to talk about, you know, Ms. Shasta, you know, she has some things she wanted to get off her chest today.
Yes, all the time.
You know, so what I'm about to do now, I'm about to let her go on and get loose a little bit. But don't think she's just going to be here by herself, because I will be here listening and monitoring what's going on.
Like, I need a monitor.
Now, but before I let her go on and do her thing, check this out now. For those out there, there's some things I need to let you know about, okay? All right. The first thing is, make sure all your bills are current.
Ooh.
All right? All your bills are current. Okay? Because if not, it's a distraction and you're not really paying attention to what you're doing anyway. So make sure all your bills are current, okay?
I
mean, and you don't need a you know, if you got the money, go on and get your bills current. They don't need trying to hold that money, because it's only what you do now is going to affect you later. So go on and pay it now, and then later on you ain't got to be sweating whether that man going to come cut your lights off because you forgot to get, you didn't pay to use the money that was set aside for it.
Oh, well.
All right? I'm just saying. All right. Number two, hey, make sure you got at least a year worth of capital saved up. Just 1 year of backup money. I'm going to call it backup money. Huh? Make sure you have a year of backup money saved up.
Hmm.
All right? I mean, that's just as emergency money now. That's just not for something, you know, you just go dip in there. This is emergency money, at least a year worth of emergency money. All right? Saved up. Just in case something was to happen and you became unemployed or what have you, you have something to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I'm trying to learn about that, y'all. I'm learning about 1 year backup money. I'm learning about that, all right?
All right. And the third thing is, make sure you can use the bathroom. Make sure you have eliminated all that unnecessary waste that you have been carrying around. Okay? You'll find out you feel better, you be healthy, and you think a little bit better. All right?
Keep on going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Eliminate some of that boo-boo that's stuck up that you full of. You know, a lot of people in there full of boo-boo. You know, a lot of people full of boo-boo. And they need to really eliminate it.
Mm.
You know, now, if all you have all these things done, y'all, if you want to give advice, you good then. Because, number one, your bills are up to date.
Mm.
So that means you won't have no distractions. You can actually think and give the right, you know, concentrate on the advice that you're giving.
Mm.
You know, you got a year's worth of money saved up just in case anything happens. And, of course, you know, eliminate that weight so you won't be have to stop and interrupt what's going on because you got to run to the bathroom.
Well.
All right. Thank you. And, you know, those three things were given to me last week by one of my callers, my faithful callers. And, I mean, he gives me some good advice. You know, if you happen to be on the show and he's talking, you may want to listen to him. You may not agree with everything he says, but he does have a lot of good points.
Hmm.
No, I call him Mr. Solution. Okay? Now, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and let Miss Shasta Cole go on and talk a little bit on what she needs to talk about. But like I said, if you want to join in the conversation, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com or join me in my chat room where I'll be monitoring and talking to you as well. Now, with that being said, here's Miss Shasta Cole.
Never had an introduction like that before. Well, I had to get that redone again. I felt that felt good. You know, the hand clap and all that going on. Well, there's a few things that I think about. This morning, I happened to be down at one of the human services office handling some business of my own. I'm going to keep that to myself. Just some business of my own. And I was talking to somebody that was sitting beside me. And he said, you know what? I walked over here. Now, he got a vehicle. He could have drove his vehicle two blocks. But he said, I walked. And I thought about that. He walked. He could have drove, but he walked. He told me that the gas prices right now is a mess. And I just feel like, you know, for people who have vehicles, it's time that, you know, we make educated decisions on things. If you two blocks away, why are you wasting your gas to walk two blocks just to handle some business? We got the public transportation system, and some of them have places where you can call a park and ride, where you can park your car and go and get on the bus and get from point A to point B. That'll save you money, little things like that. And I don't know why people choose not to ride bikes anymore. I have a personal opinion about that. Think I'm going to go to the pawn shop and get me a bike because, it saves money. All this gas for what? It's just a whole lot of nonsense to me. Get you a bike, use your BM double feet, you know, ride a train or something. Find a way to get there, but conserve your money, folks. Conserve your money. You know, I remember when you used to be able to get somewhere on $5 worth of gas. You know, you could have went from house to house trying to see what folks doing because you were just bored and throw away money like that, have to tank the gas, but it's really not like that anymore. So I think that a lot of attention should be put on public transportation and park and rides. Go park your car, get on, go on a ride. What you think, Mr. Jackson? Go on a
ride. Well, I'm listening to you. I mean, it's your show right now, but I'm listening to you. But here's my question about the park and ride.
Yeah, park and ride.
What about if you're in a small community?
Well, you can still park and ride. We're going to find you a park and ride. In our area, we have the HOP, which is the Hill Country Transit System. You know, for folks who don't know where we at and what's going on where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can call the HOP and inquire within if you have those types of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask where the nearest park and ride is to you so you can go park your vehicle and get on and ride. And it'll be $1. You know what I'm saying? You might have had to put in $20 worth of gas in your tank. Let that last you for that week. And going to go to the park and ride. Use one of them dollars to get where you needed to go and one of them dollars to get back. That's a $2 ride.
That makes sense.
You can save $18.
Yeah. But here we go. Here we go. Now, check this out. Bicycles, I agree. You know, we as a society, we have become very lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to walk nowhere. And we, like she said, you know, we just lazy. We'd rather get in a car to drive around the corner to the store. It takes you 2 minutes to walk to the store,
mm-hmm.
2 minutes to walk back. That's 5 minutes of exercise, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all come out, no, it ain't. That's four. It's 5 minutes because you're going to walk slow coming back, trying to eat or check out what you done bought. So now, it's 5 minutes. Don't be trying to correct my math.
You're a mess.
All right?
Yeah, well.
But my point is, you know, for those who, and your neighborhood is not that bad to where you cannot walk around the corner to the store. Mm. And if you do it enough, and don't just send the kids, because that was somebody going to do. Hey, Johnny, go around the corner into the store right there.
Mm-hmm.
What you doing besides laying on the couch flipping channels?
No.
On the phone gagging and tacking with your girlfriend?
Eating bonbon.
So, you know, yeah, get out and get active. Like the first lady say, you know, get active.
Mm-hmm. Exercise. Work your heart. Get your blood pressure. Get your adrenaline pumping. Something.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way I feel about it.
Yeah. So, well, that was taken. That's awesome. Well, something else I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about the types of people that we meet and that we allow to be in our lives. Well, I imagine that some of us, as we get older, become better judges of character in terms of the people we meet. I'm going to speak on myself. In about 2 minutes, I can decide whether or not you are someone that I want to keep around. You know, whether you be a friend or not, I just mean keep around. Because you're going to say something in them 2 minutes to make me feel like either I need to move around or you might be all right. You just might be safe. But what I mean by that is, you know, some people that you meet just are not goal-oriented. They don't have anything going on with themselves.
So wait a minute. Before you go any further, yeah. So are we talking as in the relationship mode or just as...
I'm talking in relationships, but you can have relationships between different kinds of people. Like, we have relationships with our kids. We have relationships with, you know, different people. It don't have to just be a man and a woman and anything romantic. I'm just talking about in the relationships that we keep with other people. We should keep people around us who are goal-oriented, short and long-term, and people who have something or want to have something better than they have now, because that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you motivated on them days when you might need a little assistance. We're all good for advice from time to time, but sometimes you need to get some advice yourself. And if you keep a good circle of people around you, that can be a steady flow of advice that you need. So you really do have to keep, you know, make sure that when you're surrounding yourself with people, that you check them. I mean, sometimes you got to check yourself too, but that you check them and concentrate on the people that you surround yourself with based on goals that they have for themselves and what they want to do with their life. Because that's the same advice that, you know, I would give my kids. Don't just hang with anybody. Hang with people that are going somewhere so some of that goodness can rub off on you. For real. You don't want to just be associating with folks that always have something going on. You know what I mean? You got to, you know, happiness comes from within. You make your own happiness. That type of thing. What Cat Williams says, it's called self-esteem. Self of your esteem of yourself. Work that out.
I think you kind of almost messed that one up then.
Esteem of yourself.
Esteem of yourself, huh?
Uh-huh. Esteem of yourself. Work on that. Self-esteem. Y'all see what I'm saying? They see what I'm saying out there. They know what I'm
do
saying.
They?
Self-esteem.
Okay.
And colleges and universities. I go to a junior college. Some people choose to go to universities. Does that mean that you're smarter than me because you go to a university? I think not. I defend everybody who goes to junior colleges and who may start out at a junior college. If that's the way you got to start out based on your finances, you do what you got to do. That doesn't mean that you're dumb or slower because you guys could not afford to go to a university. But I think that's a stigma that goes around that you just have to start out at this big school and flunk out because you couldn't keep up in the first place. Start slow. Do what works for you. Everybody can't just jump to, you know, a university. It just doesn't always work that way. Your parents' pockets might not be that large. Or even yours if you're an independent student. So do what works for you. Don't follow the Joneses.
No. I want to go back to the first point you was making about, you know, meeting the people.
Mm. Goal-oriented people.
Yeah, so what you're saying is within the first 5 seconds?
Mm-mm, 2 minutes. I'll give you two.
2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, what? I'm knowing about it's. What they call it nowadays, and young folks call it swagger. I'm a know by that, you know, but let me help the old folks. I'm a know by the way that you present yourself. Presentation is everything. First impression is the lasting one. I'm checking the way that the whole package works. You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you know if it's a broke down package when you start talking. You know what you're dealing with. You know that thing need to be rewrapped because it ain't wrapped tight.
But okay, so if that's the case then, and they come at you in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you this false reading. Then how do you handle that?
That means you got a mess on your hands. I've been there too with that mess too.
That's what it is?
Mm-hmm. That's that mess. That's what you call it. You call that that mess right there. But, I mean, as far as being, I mean, you can start, you can start a goal-oriented conversation. You can even ask somebody, you know, what is it that you're doing with your life right now? What is it that you want to do? Are you, you know, are you living the way that you, that you've wanted to? You know, is this how you saw your life? Sometimes you can meet people who are teaching, and that's not their goal. That's not something that they wanted to do all their life. That may be just something that they got stuck in. So that's what I mean. But just meeting people, learning new things, but somebody who's driven to do something more. I don't know. I don't just like to be just set in a certain mind frame. You got to be open-minded to things and more. So surround your surround yourself with people who give off that type of aura.
As in positive auras.
Yeah, positive. Positive, driven.
But how do you determine that within the first 2 minutes?
Easy. Because I'm going to be talking to you, and I'm going to know what you sound like. If you sound like this, hey, shawty, what's up? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? What you going to be doing? I'm somehow knowing that you're not driven in them 2 minutes that we start talking, you know. And if I start off a conversation with you and I don't even know you and you already complaining, I'm seeing that you stuck in that problem and you're not driven enough to pull yourself out and get it started again. I'm just saying. I watch everything. I'm going to need to know that you can, you know.
Okay.
Come on out of that thing.
Come on out of that thing?
So come on out of there. Bring them out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think it's a little harder to, it is a little harder to pick up on that. But I do want to say you are right though. You know, it'd be wonderful if everybody we met ran into was gold oriented. But being realistically, we're not gonna do that because if that was the case, then everybody we meet would have a positive influence on us, then that would, in my opinion now, this is my opinion, in my opinion, then that would, I guess, hinder our ability to learn. Because even though everybody's going, it takes those ones that's not goal-oriented to give us more ambition, is a better word to say, or push toward our goals. Because we can look at those people out there that's not goal-oriented and say, no, I am not going to be like that. So if one time, you know, your drive is fading or, you know, slowly going down, you see somebody like that, you'd be like, I'm not going to be like that. Then all of a sudden you re-energize.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I think it's a good thing that there are some people out there that are not goal-oriented.
Living examples of what you want to do better with yourself.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because, you know, and you know, I hate to say this, you know, but that C word, you know, that C word that's a killer, you know, that's my inspiration. That's my drive to make sure I get up every morning and go to the track, you know, that I get my checks like I'm supposed to, you know, because that's a dangerous thing, you know, and being that it's a part of my family, I use that as motivation or drive to do that.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to make it past a certain age.
Well, I think all of us should have goals, and some of us do, and we just don't realize that that is a goal. We might just say, you know, this is what I want to do, but we're not registering that somewhere and putting the right emphasis on it. We'll just say it, but some of us know how to register it and push forward with what we're saying.
But I know, but no, everybody doesn't have a goal. Okay, what you say?
I would think that everybody have a goal.
I mean, it sounds good to say that. It really does. But
yeah.
No, everyone does not have a goal because a lot of people have no clue of what a goal is.
Ooh. That means you're in danger. That's what I mean by the goal-oriented. If they don't know what a goal is, you need to move around quickly.
I mean, let's be real. Like my show last week, who are you and what do you want? Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? If you don't know who you are, then how you know what goal you're going after?
Right.
Well, and it's just, you can't do it. And some of them are out there like that. You know, what they think a goal is what they see somebody else doing. Or what they see, they get hooked on trying to do what the next person do. Understand my point?
Yeah, I do, actually.
But as far as them telling you they have this goal they want to meet, they always tell you what that person's goal is or the other person's goal is. That's what they want to do. But as far as them themselves, they have no idea. And they go through their whole life just that way.
Imitating someone else.
Yes. Imitating someone else.
Mm. Well, get you a goal. Get you your own goal. I don't want to hear what everybody else want to be. I want to hear what you want to be. And that's cool. So even as a parent, that make you want to support your kids at a young age with what they want to do. Let's get you your own goal. You know, and that could come from anything, any inspiration. But let's have a reason for doing what we do. Reason for doing what we do. Something that we're driving for to make us better people. You know, something.
Something.
Get a reason to live, man. Get a reason. I need to write that on. So that need to be, I need to copyright that. Just get a reason. That's it. Just leave it at that. Get a reason. I'm going to copyright that. Don't nobody steal that, okay?
Mm.
It's going to go on a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Get a reason. What else did I want to talk about? Young men with no fathers. Yeah, that's always a problem. Young men without fathers. What do we say about that, Mr. Eric? What do we say about young men without fathers? I'm going to let you start off with that. Let me just, I'm going to just jump in there. Now, I don't want to take y'all to another level because, go ahead. What do you think about young men with no fathers?
My first.
Because you're fathering yours.
Yep. Yeah, I sure am. My first thought about that is, why don't they have fathers, number one? Now, I know some of y'all about to get upset because I say, why don't they have fathers? Because in a lot of cases, it's not the father's fault. That's going to, now see, Miss Shasta, she running away from it now, y'all. Well, I'm going to put it out there. I'm just going to put it out there. A lot of it's not the father's fault why they're not in the child's life. And it's not. You know, a lot of the problem is the baby mama mamas, you know, the system itself. And I'm not talking about as in the system, as in the white man holding me down. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Just some of the stupidity that some fathers have to go to get to claim their children. You know, but a lot of it starts with the mothers themselves. Because if the mother is not mature enough to handle the child herself, she definitely ain't going to be mature enough to, you know, talk sensibly to the father when he asked to see his child, and she goes, no, because you ain't gave me no money last week.
Well,
or because he's seeing somebody else and don't want her any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the father's fault? No. Yes, there's some deadbeat jokers out there that only thing they want to do is lay and stick and move. That's what we said back in the day. The only thing they want to do is stick and move. Now, if a child should have to come out of that, then, oh, well. You're going to have to make them do what they got to do. And some of them not even going to do that. Logical and something that happens too. But in the same token, there are still fathers out there that actually take care of their kids and spend time with their kids, whether it's a male or female child. You know, and that's we need more of that in our communities. You know, because our young men are just falling by the wayside. You know, as y'all young kids also. And, you know, we need to work that out. We need to work that out. So, you asking me? Yeah, that's what I think about.
I ain't even had nothing smart to say. I had to listen to all of that because all of that was pretty true. I couldn't even come with a comeback. I guess you're right. I mean, that's not fully what's going on, you know what I mean? But a lot of that was the truth, and I can't, I really can't argue with that.
Hmm. Wow. Exactly. So, I mean, so you say, what about young men and their children? That's what I'm thinking. I feel about it. You know, there's a reason for everything.
Yeah, well,
you know, and with that being said, you know, we have to do what we do. Let's see. I have a Pianki. You say, among the major race and ethnicity groups, median weekly earnings for men working full-time jobs for the first quarter 2012. Black men, $677. White, $874. Asian, $1,027. And Hispanic, $584.
Women, black, $602. White, $713. Asian, $830. Hispanic, $525. So black women, yeah, they're trying to set the game up. But I see what he's saying as far as blacks are last all around. And what do you say? Asians are kicking butt.
Yeah.
You want to get you nailed in? Get you nailed in?
I mean, this is...
Get you nailed in?
Yeah. Blacks are last all around and Asians are kicking butt. And, you know, Bianca, that's something we talked about earlier last week. You know, and it's not good, really. It's not good. It's not saying that we aren't as educated. Well, I don't think sometimes we just aren't as focused.
That's a big one, too. Or I think that we still failing to put education first. A lot of time we want the school to put education on our kids and show us the importance of that. But oftentimes we make a better impression by doing it ourselves. If we're going to school, if we're working those jobs and going to school, you make a better impression on your kids by them seeing what you're doing. It's one thing for you to tell them to do it and another for you not have done it yourself. So you got to lead by example when it comes to that. And I think a lot of black people are failing to forget that we can be other things besides rappers and basketball players. We can be business women and business men. We can be lawyers and doctors and things like that. We forget that we can be that. That outside, out here in this world, it's not just meant for us to be stereotyped of what, you know, whether you can sing good or whether you can handle a ball. What's up with your mentality? What kind of knowledge are you carrying behind you? Are you good in math? Are numbers your thing? Because if so, you can be an accountant, you know, instead of trying to sell drugs on the street and find out what something weigh. What you putting that toward as far as getting that college degree? For real, I think we forget that we can be worth a whole lot more than the world gives us credit for. So that's what I'm looking at when I see those statistics. We don't give ourselves credit, and then we boo and wonder why.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a short 2-minute break. When we come back, we're going to go ahead and finish this conversation. All right, I'll see you in 2. Again, thank you for listening to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and today is Monday, and it's Open Up Mic Monday. So if you got anything on your mind, give us a call or send us an email at ericletstalk@gmail.com or send me a message through my chat room. Now, once again, if you want to call, the number is 347-838-8622, and I see my man, Mr. Bianchi, is here.
And let's see what he's got to say today. Hello, PNK. Thank you for calling.
How you doing, Eric, and your guest? You still there? Yeah, you sound kind of muffled. Let me call back in.
Okay. All right. Well, we seem to be having a little problem here going on, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Now, once again, we had a special co-host, Miss Shasta Cole, but she had to step out of the studio for a moment. So we're going to go ahead with the show. And, you know, we're just having a ball today. Let's see if we can't get it going again.
Yeah, I can hear you until you try to bring me in.
Okay. So you can hear me?
Yeah, you cutting in and out.
Okay. Maybe
now that's better.
Now it's better?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what's been going on?
Nothing, man. Just, you know, today's open mic. You know, and whatever's on your mind. You know, is the day. Whatever happened to you over the weekend or you saw that you want to talk, yeah, we can do it.
Well, I was just looking at those statistics that were put out by those facts. I don't like to call them statistics because people say, people mess with statistics. I think that the Department of Labor put out on the income of, different ethnic groups here in this country.
Right.
And it continues to show. And even though we just ahead of Asians by a little bit, Hispanics, that is, not Asians, that's going to change here real fast. Hispanics been kind of struggling to find their footing, but I think they're getting ready to take off. Especially you look at the areas that they are starting to dominate population-wise in the South and out in the West. And I say South, I'm talking about like out in your Floridas. And they're going to be taking off once again. But you know the impressive thing is that the Asians are doing some tremendous things with about half the population that we have. And their population is projected to surpass Black Americans here in the next, I think, by 2050.
Right. Well, and you know, we had this discussion, I think, last week or week before last. You know, it's just, I guess it's their network. They support each other a little bit better than we do. You know, as you know, we're struggling to keep our businesses in our neighborhood. They have businesses all over a city, a town, a state, you know, and it's they help each other. That's the bottom line. You know,
I think that they just have a better strategy on what it is that they're doing. And it's just not China. If you break it down further between the Indians and the Chinese, and the numbers become even more impressive, especially with the Chinese as far as their business. Heck, I think they only got like 400,000 businesses compared to African Americans, 1,900,000. And I think Black businesses gross like 135 billion. But those 400,000 Chinese business gross close to $500 billion.
Those are just businesses. You know, we're not counting the churches that are, you know, that actually operating as churches but are really businesses. You know, that's not even included in that number. But in the same thing, Black businesses, the majority of them don't earn more than $50,000 a year.
Yeah, we talked about that last time we was on the program with you. So, you know, what this is, Eric, I mean, yes, it's bad, And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to me. But it gives you a, it gives you milestones to beat. It, the whole situation needs to be looked over, studied. First thing you want to know, well, are these people putting up such impressive numbers? How much are you contributing to that? And the best way to recover is to stop participating in that which they are holding you underwater with.
Hello, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. But you're correct. You are absolutely correct. You know, but you know, how would we go about not doing that? I mean, by stopping supporting them. Because, you know, some of us, regardless of where we are, we're going to seek their businesses out. So how do we reverse the flow?
Well, you have to look at what they're doing and doing for you and do it for yourself. And it's not for everybody to do. It's for someone, you know, that has that type of mindset and that drive and that want. People want, but they just don't know how. But when you start talking about something like this, it has to be someone with skills and a knowledge of these particular categories, whereas they can do it correctly. I mean, it has to be an effort. Just as if you needed a left fielder, you would go out and find a left fielder. Or you would develop farm teams to produce you some left fielders or shortstops.
I'm glad you said that. But today in our community, are we developing that farm team? Or are we just trying to go out there and get that superstar, I guess you say, as we said, we're going to use left fielder. Now, are we developing our kids as owners?
No, we're not, but, you know, that's a reality. But another fact that goes along with that reality is that you have the capabilities and the talents and skills to do so.
I mean, that is correct. So, if that's the case, then I think we should, some kind of way, we should get out in the community and get something started to where our kids will understand or be better prepared, you know, to actually do a business or be more business-minded instead of trying to be rappers and all that other nonsense.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Well, you'd have to get somebody that's already in this business and convince them, say, hey, and support them, say, hey, look, you need to be doing this yourself. This is your market, which is your own people. And you know another thing about the rappers and that, only thing wrong with rap music, Eric, is that we dwell in it too damn much. We dwell in it and wallow around in it too much. If you produce rap music that others would consume and use to distract and confuse, there wouldn't be nothing wrong with it. But we dwell on that stuff too much, and it's just a detriment in many cases. And you know, there is some good rap music out there now, and rappers are nothing more than, you know, for a better word, it's just maroons who said that they just don't want to take it anymore. But the same was applied to other forms of music, whether it was the blues back in the day or, you know, rock and roll back in the day of Chuck Berry and so forth. Stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I understand what you're saying. And, you know, I grew up back in the day with Kool Moe Dee, Big Daddy Kane, Sugar Hill Gang. You know, I grew up doing those, you know, that period of rap. So I understand what you're saying about the other groups, but have there ever been such a disrespectful tone in our music before, as compared to what it is now? You know, because the music today is just, I don't know, some of them lyrics, it just make you wonder.
Well, things don't change, man. What this not the days of Oz and Harriet or I Love Lucy, where Ricky and Lucy slept in separate beds. You know, it's just you're in a different time. And another point, too, the fact that, you know, you mentioned earlier about the weakness of the businesses in your community, and that those businesses are not commanding those advertising dollars with these venues, these media venues, you don't have anything to leverage to say, hey, I'm tired of this, don't play it. You know, as we talked about before, the only reason why come Rush Limbaugh recanted what he said about that lady having to do with slut is because he lost, what, 30, 35, 37 advertisers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you in the black community, the business, black business community, get to the point where they can pull ads, you know, and affect a station, bottom line like that, are they going to ignore you and play whatever the hell they want to?
Okay. Okay. You have that's a valid point. That is a very valid point, you know. But once again, we back to the original question. You know, okay, we know we need to do more and have our hands in it more. But what is it going to take for us to actually get over the hump and accomplish that? Is it more education or, as you say, getting to know the right people just to get our foot in the door and then teaching and educating each other to where we can move on past that?
Well, I think the thing on education is long past, too. You know, we've been talking about education since going back in the 80s. And now these degrees ain't worth the money that they're printed on as far as utilizing them in the field. Then we go get degrees that's in areas that has no contingency whatsoever, many cases of the kind. Now, for start businesses, you have to have somebody who's working in that business, who's already doing it for somebody else. Those where you're, you know, most successful and potential business owners come from.
Okay. A lot of the business owners, well, I'm not going to say majority, I'm going to say a lot, some business owners, you know, they see another African-American opening up a business in their area as competition compared to trying to help, you know, help build the community up with different businesses and the services and things that we need. No, so before we can do any of that, I guess it would have to be is we have to stop pulling each other back in the barrel. Would you agree with that?
Well, crabs act the way they're doing the barrel because it wasn't designed to be in a damn barrel anyway. It was designed to be out in the stream or a pond. So, no, Eric, it would work. I mean, it needs to be tried. You know, in your school, who controls the cafeterias in your public school district? That is probably 90% black.
The school board, not us. That's for sure.
Who's providing the food in that? Is that a local community? Do they bring they haul stuff in and you put it in a microwave and heat it up for the children to eat, rather than like we did once upon a time back in the day where you had people out of the community working in the kitchens, preparing food that was locally produced, although we didn't have the capacity. I take that bet. There was more black farms back then at the time now. But you have cooperatives that's moving along in that direction to provide produce and other foods for organizations in some cities like Chicago. These cooperatives,
right,
and associations represent groups of black farmers, because one farm cannot produce all that is going to be needed, or should I say ordered. So the infrastructure for that to happen is probably about 75% complete. Just need to be, a plan need to be put together and say, this is what we're going to do. You have to draw a line in the sand.
Okay. So we're drawing a line in the sand and says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to make it happen. Basically, that's what you're saying. And we just need to follow up on making it happen.
That's all you got to do. You know, first thing you do is look and see who's providing what for you that you don't provide for yourself. I mean, the countries do that all the time. The United States do that. It's called protectionism. You got to have that same type of protection in your own markets, your own community. Didn't you say you was coming out of Detroit?
Mm-mm. I'm coming out of Texas, not Detroit. Not at all.
I was talking to another Blog Talk Radio show. We were making mention about how, you know, several years ago, Detroit, which was, what, 90% black, you had a black city council that was drawing up minority participation plans for work that's going on within the city of Detroit, which is 90% black. And they were trying to work out like a 25% participation rate, 25% black and 75%, I guess, white, in a city that's 90% black. What kind of damn sense did that make, man?
None at all. None.
Yeah, it needs to be laughed at.
Yeah. But, okay, so here's the thing, though. Why did they go that route?
I don't know. Something has to be wrong with their mind. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of. No, wasn't nobody holding a gun over their head. Wasn't no white folks left the city a long time ago. You remember Claude Anderson had a plan for having a business district called an African town. Hey, blacks was against it. The Arabs were against it. The Latinos was against it. The only reason those two other ethnic groups was against it because they already had businesses that the blacks were supporting. And they didn't want to lose that. So it wasn't no reason at all why come, you know, that wouldn't have been a very good and viable plan in order to stimulate the economy and keep the money circulating in the area and also provide jobs for your people, and in particular your teenagers who are hyper unemployed.
Right, and I think that's maybe that's something that we're missing out on. You know, we're our teenagers. You know, because it's so many of them out there with so much potential, but if, like you said before, if we're not trying to educate them or get them started, then they feeling hopeless too. You know, instead of going out there and trying to do something good. You know, they end up doing something and getting incarcerated, which we really don't need anymore of that because over half our young males are incarcerated as it is now. So, I think you may have a point.
Well, you know, black workforce is about 11 million, which is ridiculously low, according to the Bureau of Labor. Your population is, what, about 38 million, and your workforce is about 11 million. You got more registered voters than you got people working. You know, I just realized that. I think you got either 19 or 20 million registered voters, and you only got like 11 million people working. Something wrong with that picture.
Pretty much, it's something a whole lot wrong with it. But you know, if they have their way with this, especially like in Florida, if they have their way with this voter registration purge, as they're calling it, we won't have that many people voting anymore. You know, we just won't. And I don't know. You know, I'm sitting here rubbing my head trying to think of a solution, and it's gonna take some time. But the question is, are we willing as a community? Are we willing to do the work?
I don't know. What happened to your other guest? Maybe she has an answer.
I don't know. They stepped out for a moment. I don't know. Maybe I was too hard on her. Hopefully she get back here before the show is over.
Well, I was hearing distress in her voice that she was being tortured.
I'll never torture my guests. Now I just, you know, I just like to see what they where they're headed and let them think. You know, like me, you, and Mr. Solution talk all the time. You know, so that's all. We just coming up, letting people know what's what. You know, that's what my show is about. I try and make it about anyway. You know, but now getting back to our youth, though. So what?
In 2008, blacks had 17,058,000 registered voters, and 15,857,000 voted in 2008. And according to that other statistics, I think there's like 11 million blacks that's employed. I have to look at that again.
But see, and the unemployment rate in the African American community is what, 14.4%, something like that. So it's way almost double the national average. You know, and with that being the case, then yes, we do have to vote. We got to vote for something, some kind of change. Hope there's some kind of change.
Yeah, but in the first quarter of 2012, there was 5,626,000 black males and 6,309,000 black females that were considered full-time wage and salary workers.
Wow. Wow. And that's a big disparity as far as numbers.
You got 11,935,000 full-time and wage salary workers that are black or African American. And I'd be damned. You got 17 million. That's registered voters. So the question is, what the heck is being a registered voter getting you? If you got more registered voters who don't practically done, I guess you can say that's one more thing that they've done in order to reach some sort of status or reach some sort of level. And you've got the 11 million, 17 million, you've got almost 50% more people not working that are registered than people that are working. Something's wrong with that picture.
That is a whole lot of wrong with that picture. And you know what? I need you to send me that site you on, because I would like to look at it and you know, see if I can look a little deeper into that. Because you're right, there's something wrong with that, and it's just amazing. I don't see why. You know, ew, that's crazy. I'm almost speechless.
Yeah. Now, if you look at whites got over 80 million. Well, this is race, Hispanic, Latina, and you got over 80,278,000 whites that are considered being in the full-time wage and salary workers. And I think you only had like a total of, I don't know how many total voters they got. But I would say that they got more people working than they got people that's out there voting. But I put that link up in the chat room so you can check it yourself.
You know, but now they have more working than they have actual voters.
Well, registered voters. I have to check and see how many whites voted in the 2008 election.
But since these numbers, those numbers are offset from each other, does that basically give us a idea of who's actually voting and who's not?
Well, no, you can tell. I mean, they come out with the stats on who voted and who didn't. Or they can tell you who's registered. They can tell you your numbers in your particular ethnic group that's registered, and they can also tell you of those numbers what percentage or what number did actually vote.
Okay. I mean, with the election really coming up, you know, I really want to take a look at that so we can compare now until, you know, 2008, because I do believe there's going to be a big difference this time as far as voters, the percentages. Now, I'm not going to say whether it's good or bad, but I do believe there's going to be a huge disparity compared to the last election, presidential election. So, would you agree that would happen?
Well, it ought to be interesting.
Oh, well, without a doubt, it's going to be interesting. Okay, so, I mean, well, let's take a look at the economy and the way things are going. Yes, it has no choice but be interesting. You know, because it's not, I don't think it's, I think when we went into, when a lot of people said, okay, and elected President Obama, they had unrealistic expectations, number one. I think because the country was in worse shape than they actually knew about. And I think the expectation was, and he may have fed into it a little bit himself by, you know, saying that it's going to change, you're going to change everything.
Well, people need to keep him on track because, you know, he's out there making these innuendos about Mitt Romney and the Bain Capital. But his emphasis, he's supposed to be telling people about the economy. Actually, both of them should be. That's what folks are talking about.
Right. You know, as far as all that negative stuff, it's really not what about it should be about the economy, as you said, and what's going on as far as the people need. But, you know, Mitt Romney, Bain Capital, all that, that's really not important to me. You know, and I'm sure a lot of voters out there feel the same way.
Well, yeah, it's like when I hear people complaining about corporations don't pay no taxes. But your tax rate, individual tax rate, is, what, about 13% to 25%, but corporate tax rates are 0% to 35%.
Sure.
So if they pay zero, then they haven't done no wrong.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to say they ain't done no wrong, but they gotten away with it.
Well, yeah, but apparently they're taking advantage of everything that they can to avoid paying, you know, more taxes than they need. There's nothing wrong with taking advantage of those loopholes and avoiding to pay more taxes than you necessarily have to.
Politics right now. Oh, my guest host has shown back up. So you had a question for her earlier, correct?
Well, she was gone, but I was going to ask her about those statistics on the first quarter wage earners, full-time wage earners, as they reported. And also, what did she think about the fact that you have a total of about 11 million black males and females that have full-time jobs? You have about 17 million that's registered to vote. What the heck is being registered to vote has gotten them? Are you even voting?
You said, are they even voting? Are they registered? Are they?
Yeah, according to 2008, you had a total of about 17 million registered black voters. 15.9 million, I think, came out and voted in the 2008 election. But today, the total number that, according to this first quarter of 2012, published by the Department of Labor, for full-time salaried black workers, male and female, they total about 11 million. So you got 11 million people working, but you got 17 million that's registered to vote. So what is voting getting them? The ones that's not working.
Don't look like much of anything. So I would think, I mean, that's crazy how that affected how many people were actually working. Does it matter whether or not they're working or not working? I mean, I would hope that everybody who was registered to vote would take advantage of what that offers, you know, the ability to go vote. I mean, a lot of people, I'm black, so, you know, a lot of people stood in line and suffered for me to be able to vote. I take advantage of it. So I'm just saying, I don't know if it has anything to do with who works and who doesn't work, but I would.
Well, his question is, being that you have such a disparity in the numbers, what is voting getting them? Now, what is, you know, what are they getting by voting? You got 17 million people that vote, 11 million that's working. All right, so that's what, basically 6 million?
Well, you got, you had 15.9 million that voted in the 2008 election out of 17 million that was registered. But here it is today, according to that report, you only got 11 million that is actually employed.
Right. And your question, what?
Well, politics supposed to make your economic viability worth more. I mean, surely they ain't voting for war. They're voting to try to make themselves better. They're supposed to bring, like, the economy, like jobs. That's one of the top subjects. That's what, you know, Obama done rolled on for 3 years, almost going on 3.5 years, about what he inherited from Bush. If that's the case, then we got those out there saying, well, they ain't going to let him do nothing. Well, if that's the case, why are you going to vote him in again? If they ain't going to let him do, if they didn't let him do nothing the first 4 years, they surely ain't going to let him do nothing the second 4 years.
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. And you know what? That's how you know our political system is freaking broken. Period. It's broken. Because for one group to sit there and say they're not going to let the president of the United States, no matter who he is or what color, not try and do things to better the country because it's something they just don't believe in or just not going to let happen, is wrong.
Well, I mean, but people use that as an excuse. But then they turn around and vote for him again. I'm thinking it's the lack of knowledge, the lack of education behind who we voting for anyway. We just going to go with the majority, most people. I mean, if there were 17 million people registered to vote, how many of those people really knew any information behind the candidates we was voting for? We probably didn't. Half the black people who voted went for the black man. So it wasn't like we knew, you know, we knew the difference or what policies he followed or what he was saying. And it's going to still go on.
That's a good point. I agree with you. And that's what I keep trying to tell people on the show. You know, I don't care who you vote for. Just know what the candidate stands for. You know, do your research on the candidate. If you're just going about the commercials and things that's popping up on the television, you know, that's misleading. You can't go by that. Because during election year, you know, everybody stretches the truth. So, you know, you have to do your education. I mean, you know, your research to actually figure out what's going on and who's the best candidate for what you think needs to be done.
And they're making it hard nowadays with certain states passing laws that you have to have an ID card to vote. Well, that singles out a lot of black youth, too, who may not be making the proper steps to go get that identification. It's going to hold back a lot of blacks and a lot of Mexicans and a lot of other people who don't have proper identification. So they think of ways to to lessen the amount of minority who's voting regardless.
Well, I don't think they, you know, states have a right to set the qualifications for voters and the procedures. That's, each state has a right to do that. And the point is that if this is what you have to do to vote, then comply with it. Political parties that's complaining and saying that this is an attempt to prevent a certain segment of their base from voting, then those political parties need to put whatever resources that they need to make sure that that particular base is complying to the laws of the state. In other words, spend some money.
Well, that's what it always boiled down to, is some money. But what about vulnerable youth who may or may not have the ability to get an ID card by the time that it's time to vote? I don't think we should be, even the states should be making it more difficult for that to happen.
Well, this was tested in court about 8 years ago. I forget the court. It might have been Texas. But this was tested in court already, 2006, I think it was. Supreme Court said, yes, states can provide, tell that people have to have photo IDs before they can vote. So that was 6 years ago. And those who use this as a punching bag, as I said before, they should do what's necessary to make sure that not only their constituents, but Americans are complying with the law.
Well,
I mean, I'm with you on that. As if, you know, they need to get a photo ID, that's fine. Get your photo ID. I agree with you there. But, you know, some states are trying to require not just a photo ID, but two photo ID, and, you know, the stipulation that it has to be government issued. You know, which.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but I looked up the requirements for Texas, and I even looked up the requirements for Mississippi, out of all the places. You know, Mississippi, before they can make any changes that would affect the performance of a person, of a citizen going to the polls, that has to be approved by the Department of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi and maybe four other states have to do that. You know, blacks has been using that excuse, oh, every 20 years they got to vote to see whether or not we can vote or not. Well, that ain't true. It's just those particular states that has to come from underneath that mandate. But Mississippi is not that difficult. And the funny thing about it, if you even got a concealed carry identification tag, you can use that to vote.
Yeah. I mean, I mean Mississippi is an easier place. But some states are just not going to try and make it that easy. But I agree with you. If you really want to vote, you'll make a way for it to happen regardless. You're going to find a way for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. You know, because we definitely don't want to happen again what happened in Florida, you know, with the Bush and Gore thing. So maybe that is a good thing going on.
Yeah, but Democrats themselves did not protest that. You remember Maxine Waters stood up in the committee hearings, and all she needed was one senator to sponsor that with her for the investigation. And what did Gore tell her? Sit down.
Yeah.
I watched that. They made a spectacle of that black woman, and she only needed one other. And each time she, you know, was turned away, you know, and she was asking, literally,
you know,
helping people along, asking, and they made up that, yes, I felt bad for that woman. I watched that.
You know, I'm, once again, I go back to my original saying, the system is broke, severely broke.
Well, the system ain't, there's nothing wrong with the system. The problem is black folks like to be punked all the damn time and like to get into this position where somebody feels sorry for them or they begging. I mean, just think about it. Here you got a black woman who was concerned that the Republicans were stealing the election in Florida the votes in Florida from Democrats. And Democrats themselves told her to forget it. So something is wrong there. So why is black folks falling lockstep with these damn Democrats? That's the question I don't know. And, you know, the thing is that you're supposed to choose a candidate that's going to go to the state house in your state, or going to go to Congress at a national level and champion your causes. Not only do you choose that person, but you have to fund their campaign. Because if you don't, somebody else is going to do, he's going to be doing, he or she's going to be doing their wishes, and all you're doing is just voting every time. We got a first congressional congressperson here named Lacey Clay. His father, Bill Clay, was a congressperson for like 32 years. First black, they created the first congressional district for black people.
Uh-huh.
He stayed there for 30 years, 32 years his father, now he's in. And blacks have been, and you know, blacks, you know, some blacks, activists complain about this all the time, about how these, what we call reclamation, you know, reclaiming areas, and how they redline and just and cut services and just cause things and don't, you know, let crime be prevalent, infiltration of drugs, let conditions get so damn bad, blacks just move out of them themselves. So what has been happening is that his district has been losing population. Black folks, they've been moving. And now, during the last, you know, after the census, every 10 years, and once they count folks, then they have to redistrict.
Right.
You know, a congressperson is supposed to represent so many people. So what they've done, since his district lost so many people, Missouri is required to give up one representative.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just so happened. Well, what's happening, you had a white congressperson, Carnahan, and you got Clay. Now they're running for the same representation over an area. And the area is partially white. So if Democrats were so cool with each other, why is this white man running against this black man in an area that's, I don't know what the percentages are, but it might be slightly more blacks than it is whites. So the question, and you know, here's another point. In Clay's advertising, guess what his campaign advertising, his commercials are? His commercials is this. He plays Boehner's speech when he said we can't let Obama get another term. And he's saying that he needs to go back to Washington so he can make sure that Obama is protected. He's not running on his accomplishments, which is very susceptible. He's running on the fact that black folks is all emotional, that, oh, they won't let Obama do nothing, and they said they're going to get him out of there. So what I'm saying is this, and I haven't checked it, but I think that those commercials that's playing in the black community is not the same ones that's playing in his white constituents community or on the radio stations that's majority white. It's only playing on Black Talk radio station, and the flyers and things coming out is in black communities that's showing his face and having that type of verbiage. So my point is this. What the heck is going on with black America if they fall from some crazy schemes like that?
Well, that's a good question. A real good question. I don't know what we're not falling for nowadays. I mean, it takes a commercial with hip-hop music playing for men to go get colonoscopies. So I ask myself the same thing, that, you know, what's wrong with us? Everything has to be glamorized on the TV and on the news, and it has to have a beat to it for us to even look at it.
Well, okay. Now, you said all that. Okay, this is what's going on.
It's a lot that we're blinded by.
Yeah, and we're failing to educate ourselves. You know, like you said before, you know, we always crying and begging because we're not educating ourselves on things like this. So, as I mentioned before, we get stuck on what they're showing on TV and think that's it. But we have to do our research and educate ourselves as to
you know, what the topics are and what these candidates, each of these candidates stand for.
And even the parties that we side with, like he's saying, Democrats and Republicans. Half of us call ourselves Democrats and don't know why.
Yeah,
that's what Democrat means.
That's,
but we want to be Democrats.
That's another thing. You know, as far as party affiliation, you know, half of the young group, they Democrat because their parents were Democrats, and that's all they know. You know, no one has sat down and decided to go back and actually see what each party stands for. You know, or what the left, which side is the left and which side is the right.
Or which side is going for what I'm looking for change in. Which, if I'm unemployed, which side is talking about making sure that we get some new jobs when they go in? Or which side is trying to make sure that my medical care is taken care of? I mean, some of the key issues we're not looking at.
Oh, don't even talk about medical care.
I know that brings a sore subject up.
No, no.
But a lot of us aren't, you know, we don't concentrate on things like that when we go to elect officials. And it goes even as deep as to say when we go to vote, it's not just two names on that ballot. It's a whole list of other names on that ballot of people that most black people don't even know what them folks doing. You was just looking for and against him. That's what you were looking for on the whole ballot. You might have to turn it over just to find Obama and the opposing man. You weren't even ready to circle any other bubbles because you didn't know who else anybody else was. You see what I mean?
No, they vote straight Democrat. Because I worked the polls you know, when you're handing out ballots, you know, for campaigning for somebody, and they ask you, they say, I'm going to vote straight Democrat. Is the person Democratic? They don't even ask anything about what the person's running on, what they're going to do. And so, is the person Democrat?
Right.
And I'm talking from experience.
I mean, you may vote certain people for certain things. Certain views may be a Democratic view, and then it may be somebody who's Republican, but they're more supporting your viewpoint at what needs to change. So I can see how sometimes it could be ignorant to do that.
And to just vote this straight party constantly over and over again without having an agenda. I mean, elected people aren't supposed to have their own agenda. They're not supposed to be voting their conscience. They're supposed to be voting what you want them to vote. Just like this thing we're on the alternative schools, where you have in the 70 percentile, black Americans want alternative schools. Well, NAACP sues even New Jersey or Philadelphia, I forget one of those school districts, because they're talking about starting alternative schools in the form of charter schools. So they file a suit against us. The black people in that community are overwhelmingly wanting something different. Why do you want to keep your children into something that has failed time and time again?
Right.
I guess black folks don't have enough sense to know what's good. And then you wonder where the apathy come from. Why come folks, blacks don't go out and vote? Well, hell, I wouldn't go out and vote neither, because you're always trying to tell them what to vote. You're always trying to tell them, hey, this ain't good for you. You don't want to go that direction.
You know what? That's a good point. I mean, and it just all comes back to education and research. That, I mean, that's it.
It's deeper than that now. It ain't that easy. Believe me, it's a whole lot deeper than that. I tell you what, if you lay this out on the table, you'd be surprised. You'd have to come to the viewing, and they would have to take you through metal detectors, because if you seen it, you'd be pulling out your gun shooting.
Wow. Is that deep, eh? I don't know, because I'm still looking at which one is going to be talking about helping the veteran. And being the veteran myself, I want to know. And neither one of them has said much about a veteran. So,
you know, well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. If you, you know, I had a friend of mine that he got caught up in Vietnam. He actually was much older than I am. and he just bought a brand new 1964 Chevy Super Sport convertible. This was in 1964, and he got called to Vietnam. I refused to go myself, and Nixon came in. He done away with the draft, and I was deferred, occupational deferment. But today, James, back from Vietnam, and he came back, you know, probably in the late 60s, maybe early 70s. And all that brother do today is walk up and down the street from one end, about five blocks, then you turn around and come back. Then you turn around and go the other way. Back and forth, all day long. His mind is gone.
Yep. I had
another, my wife's cousin, Elroy, when he came back, he would wake up in the middle of the night shouting and carrying on, and she would call the police, which white police show up, which was a bad thing to do. So they probably would, you know, they could have killed him. And she had to end up putting him in a home. And they don't receive the proper treatment when they go down to the VA. And you know the reports on that. So, no, you lucky that you a veteran and not sleeping under bridges.
You're right. And, you know, I know a lot of veterans came back with me, and that's exactly what they are doing. You know, because, you know, people don't realize here, just here in Texas alone, sometimes it takes 4, 5, 6, 7 months before you get in for an appointment for something simple as getting some glasses, you know. And you know, everybody think, well, you get your care, but there's a cost for that care because the care is not that great. You know, they change doctors. You done seen a doctor, the same doctor, for 3 years. All of a sudden, you go in for your next appointment. You got a whole new doctor. And it's like starting over because this doctor just done quit because they couldn't take it anymore. You know, and stuff like that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, and this president continued to create more arenas where more Americans can end up being disabled, mentally screwed up, are killed. They constantly create more circumstances where you got to deploy troops. I mean, it seems like it's just like, which is the better, the drinking water, breathing air, or fighting? And what comes out of these damn wars? What came out of Iraq? They had a report here the other day. It surely wasn't oil, because Iraqis voted in their constitution that before contracts can be given to foreign companies, it has to be approved by Parliament. And you know the people ain't going to approve for U.S. And here's another point. What in the hell are you sending the army, getting all these folks killed, spending all this money, for some U.S. corporations to be able to go into these countries and pump out oil? And we're always constantly complaining about corporations don't pay taxes, corporations are taking businesses and all our jobs overseas, but we're spending billions of dollars to fight a war, military, dropping depleted uranium armaments where it's causing birth defects and with these people and their future generations, for corporations. Something's got to be wrong with Americans. I ain't talking about just black folks now. Let's get off of black folks for a little bit. I'm talking about Americans, period.
I agree. It's called greed. It's called greed because what's happening, not only are they over there pumping oil, they're over rebuilding the whole place. So now you got more American companies over there making a killing, you know, but they're not paying any taxes or anything. And here's the best kept secret as it may be, a lot of the politicians and what have you, they have their hooks into those companies. So and they're making money off it as well.
Right. Maybe different chairs of different companies. I looked into that too. You know, as far as some of these big companies and some of these, not even just Republican, but some of these Democratic, some of these candidates and representatives that are political, like you said, often play two different roles. They're chairmen of some of these big companies. They're CEOs and different positions in these companies. So they running two gamuts, making money in both areas. And I own this, and I sit on this, also going to. I'm in the Congress doing some things as well.
Well, that's why they came up with these bailouts for these banks, because congressmen stood to lose money. You remember when they was on Maxine Waters' case because she arranged for a bank that her father and her husband had deposits in to get stimulus money? You remember that? Mm-hmm. You know they were getting ready to bring her up on that? Wonder why come.
Now.
I mean, wonder why come. I can tell you why come, because probably 90% of the Congress had investments in those toxic securities and so forth. And if they didn't bail out these banks, they would have lost money. They would have been doing the same thing that Maxine Waters was doing.
Right. Yep, you're right. Okay, Ms. Pianga, you got about 30 seconds to wrap it up.
Man, this is your show.
I like that. Okay. But well, we want to thank Mr. Bianchi once again for a great afternoon of conversation. Our special co-host, Ms. Shasta Cole.
Yes, yes.
And I really appreciate those of you out there listening, you know, that may have not wanted to say anything. But it's okay. I do appreciate your listening, and I hope you continue to listen. Well, that's the show for today. Excuse me. And I want you to join me tomorrow when our topic will be, does family values still exist? And it will be PM Central time, guaranteed. All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening to Let's Talk. I am your host, Eric Jackson, and I hope you have a great rest of your Monday, and I'm out of here.